Welcome back. You're listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
I'm Ryan.
And just because some people are getting tired of it, that's the man behind the tone curtain. Hash brown.
Wrong.
Yeah. Now we got out of the way.
Okay, so let me ask you about the tone curtain thing.
Yeah. I know what you're gonna ask. This is great.
When you came up with tone curtain, were you thinking that it was like a Wizard of Oz sort of thing? Like, I'm the guy that's, you know, everyone thinks there's this cool stuff that we're doing, but in reality, it's just like, we're just like, and it's good enough, let's sell it.
No, man, I was just riffing. I mean, it actually means absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, it just sounded good, you know? And Tone Chaperone was already taken.
It's true.
That's true, it was, wasn't it? So...
I just forgot to turn on one of the cameras, so
that's okay.
So you just won't have any footage. Okay, sorry. For people listening, they're gonna be like, why was that just dead air?
But it's not an inside joke, we explained it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, no more inside jokes, sorry.
Well, and I've had several people say, you know, there was some stuff you said that I didn't quite grasp, like the comedy aspect of it. And I was like, I guess some of that is a little
bit. Well, sometimes it's just because I'm not funny.
or genius is misunderstood. I'm just saying, I'm gold.
But that's what your mom told you.
Yeah.
Mother, stay out of this, mom.
But no, the tone curtain thing, I have no idea why I said it. I just thought it was funny. You know,
I just wonder where it came from. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it has the Wizard of Oz thing, I guess, but I don't think it's. I'm not insinuating that, you know, you want to be so introverted that you just want to stay out of it and you don't care about what people think.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was one guy's interpretation of it. So I was like, no, it's pretty far from that. So, but
maybe I'm the guy behind the waffle iron or something. I don't know.
I wish. And if so, how come we don't have any waffles in here? You've been holding out on me, bro.
Maybe I'm the guy behind the...
You know how I feel about waffles?
Let me ask you this, though. Do you really feel that way about waffles, or do you feel that way about the syrup? Who's the real hero there?
Oh, see, I'm different. I don't like waffles with syrup. Really? With cream and chocolate chips. It's like cake, but for breakfast. It's out of there.
Cake. Everything's back to cake.
Okay,
so I have an interesting topic that actually came in through the email address podcast@wamplerpedals.com, which please send suggestions, comments, anything. But, well, not anything. Right. You know, it's got to be safe for work because it is my job.
We did have a great question. I was looking for it.
Yeah.
Where do babies come from?
The stork.
Okay. Oh, wait. Kind of back up and say, is this from Instagram?
This Instagram, Baby Lopa.
Okay, but this, we put out there, you know, hey, is there anything you guys want to, any questions you have, you know?
Right.
And he asks these following questions. Max, I'll just let you answer. I'm going to sit back on
this. Yeah, okay. So, Max, where do babies come from?
The stork and the cabbage patch.
Okay. What is the plural form of platypus?
Platypi.
So it's not platypeople.
No, that's a mutant comic.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Lastly, why aren't jet skis called motorcycles?
Because cycles have wheels. Genius.
I do really like motorcycle though.
That is great.
From now on, they will always be a motorcycle. I cannot wait for that. Yeah. That's awesome.
That is great. I love that. Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Baby Lopa.
So, Baby Lopa. Yeah. At Baby Lopa.
Yeah, so get a hold of us, dude. We'll send you a shirt.
Yeah, do it.
So
cool. So I had this back to, you know, the tone thing, right? That's what we're here for.
Yep.
I had a question come through the help desk that I thought was pretty good. It's more of a topic than a question.
But, right.
I guess I'll kind of word it how he said it. Do you think guitarists are holding back the technology of gear? And what he meant was every time he goes watch somebody, they always have, you know, the vintage gear. And if it's a new amp, well, what's it based on? Or it's a new pedal, well, what's it based on? And of course, you have to know something to compare it to. You know, yeah. if you ask how something tastes, you know, you want to know something compared to.
Right.
Or it's the age-old question, oh, you're in a band? What kind of music do you play?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? Yep.
So, but I do understand his point that we are so quick to say that an amp is a Fender or an amp is a Vox.
And I found myself doing the exact same thing.
Oh, I do too. I'm yeah. just as guilty of it as anybody, if not more guilty.
Right. I know there's been several times I'll play an amp and I'm like, this is really good. Is this more like a deluxe sort of yeah. thing? Or I mean, it's kind of yep. like my frame of reference.
Same here. You know? And I take it a step further, and this is so nerdy, but I'll look at the tube complement
mm-hmm.
and base my, like, I'll kind of know what it sounds like based off that. To, in my, to
like
me,
6L6,
to
and you're like, oh.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, like, for me, I swear I can, when I play it, I can tell if somebody or some amp has EL84s in it. Mm-hmm. To me, they have a very, to me, that's the most specific sound there is.
Right.
You know, to my ear. Like, I really can't tell KT66s from 34s, you know. Mm-hmm. I just don't have that much, at, you know.
We'll get there.
But you know, but at EL84, I can tell the difference. But you know, I mean, are you guilty of that too?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Especially on the phone, I'll talk to customers. That's a large part of my job, and be like, okay, what kind of amp you playing? They'll say, oh yeah, I play a Dr. Z, or I'll play something 606 bass. So I'm already thinking, okay, I got a Vox, I got a Fender.
Right.
I'll start already like, okay, I kind of have an idea what this sounds like.
Right. And that for you, especially when somebody says, well, what's this pedal sound like with a Dr. Z? And you know, that's not the best example because we have a Dr. Z here,
yeah,
and we also have a Vox. But let's say
we have just about everything.
Yeah. But let's say you didn't have a Dr. Z. That's where your head would go.
Exactly. And
to me, like I had that Moz 38 Senior.
Mm-hmm.
Killer. Yeah.
It sounded nothing like a Vox to me. Maybe just the way I had it EQ'd. Maybe it's the way I play.
I think the cabinets play a big part of that too. The cabinets yeah. and the speakers in those amps.
Yeah.
But so, they definitely, like, what do we have, an 18?
Right? Yeah, you have the 18, yeah.
And it's got its own sound, you know?
Yeah.
And I like the sound. I actually like it through a bigger cabinet as well.
But yours has two 10s, I think?
I think it does in the cabinet.
And I think they're Alnico's, right? I can't remember.
If I recall right, there seems like they have Dr. Z branded. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think they're ceramic though. I thought
they probably are because I remember I hate Alnico's.
Yeah, usually I just run it out to a cabinet of some sort. So
yeah,
you know,
I've borrowed that amp for a couple gigs.
You did? That's right.
Yeah, that I swear there was a human body buried in it. It was so heavy.
Oh my god!
It's like a Mesa. It's the same way.
It's made out of concrete.
I almost threw up that gig. It's this gig we did on, it was like a riverboat, right? And it's a small riverboat, but, you know, big enough to have a band and a ton of people and whatever. So I had to carry this amp like almost half a mile down this boat dock and everything. So when I got there, my arm was almost out of its socket. But we set up, we start playing, and first song in, man, I break my low E string. Who breaks them? And you know me, I don't even play hard.
Right.
So, of course, my confidence is shot. And it's only my third gig with this band anyway.
And you're probably irritated a little bit by that time.
Of course.
Because you're like, how am I going to get by without my low E?
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, I was playing with an awesome keyboard player. So,
yeah. That helps, yeah.
But I'll never forget the, as soon as we started taking off. Dude, it was so rocky that I started to get seasick. So I'm like literally you're swaying and you feel like you're swaying, but all you're doing is you're trying to stay upright.
Right.
So like it was the weirdest gig.
So like the room looks like it's stationary and you feel like you're the one that's moving in this room.
Yes. And it's imagine that. And then doing 275-minute sets like that.
See, I can't do that, man.
Oh, man.
I cannot do that.
No.
I can't play like that, but I was like that after a party at NAMM. Back to my hotel. I do believe that was alcohol on me, so.
Did you have to do the thing where you had to stick one foot on the floor?
It's like, please stop spinning.
that used to work for me. When I was in college, I'll never forget. I went back to my dorm room and the room was spinning. I don't even know how I got in bed. So I just had to like stick one foot on the floor. So if anybody is out there new to the drinking thing and new to being completely hammered, try it. It helps.
A little left to center.
But that's so far off. But so, you know, we always have to base things on, you know, things that are familiar. And that goes without saying for everything. But this guy did make a good point, like, and you brought up the Axe FX.
Right.
Like, did you see the, and I'm not trying to bring up Wampler because, but it's what I'm familiar with.
Sure.
You know, so did you see the Brett Kingman demo of the Clarksdale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did it all through an Axe FX.
He did, yeah.
And this guy, Brett Kingman, I mean, I bet most people that are into gear enough to listen to this show know who Brett is.
What is his YouTube?
Burgerman?
Burgerman 666
or something? Yeah, something like that. Or if you just put in Brett Kingman.
Put in Brett Kingman, you'll find him on YouTube. Yeah.
And that guy has played every piece of gear imaginable. I mean, it's what he does for a living. He tours, you know, he's a professional musician, but a big part of his thing is he does YouTube demos. And it just struck me as like he was doing the demo and he kind of stopped and he goes, "They're getting really close to bridging that gap, guys." and the thing is, if I heard it from, and this is so bad, and I know I'm going to get ripped apart for this, but surely I'm not the only person that thinks this way. If some shredder dude said that to me, I'd be like, sure. But a guy like Brett Kingman, who I can relate with and, you know, has played
every piece of gear imaginable.
Yeah. A guy like that says that, then you're like, okay, maybe I should take notice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I've often thought, you know, it'd be great just to have an Axe FX, like...
I second, maybe two.
I mean, it'd be great, like, for breadboarding purposes, just to have another palette to run it through.
That'd be cool, yeah. Or our offices, is that what you say?
I mean, you know, the general way that we are designing stuff is there's a breadboard that allows us to build circuits quickly without soldering. Just kind of like a plug wire in here, plug a part in there, and it makes a circuit. So we use that. It goes out to, you plug your guitar into it, you plug that out to an amp. And then, of course, we have all those amps lining up the wall. So you basically just plug it into each different type of amp and you're just measuring to see what happens. Well, what happens when I plug it into a Marshall? What happens when I plug it into a Vox? What happens, you know?
Even you have a little bit.
Even a solid state, solid state.
Yeah. And you used to have that Line 6 out there, too.
My son's got that.
Your son's got it?
Yeah.
But that's cool. So, I mean, yeah, it's... And that's what I always tell people, like, you know, and I can say it confidently, and it's what's so great about when people ask me, like, well, you know, how's this pedal sound through a solid state amp? Does it even make sense to buy it? And, you know, I feel bad because it makes me sound like a salesman, but yeah, it does make sense because instead of buying a $3,000 amp, you can buy this $200 pedal.
Right.
And that's not just specific to your pedals, probably. It's just I'm so familiar with them. I know that they sound good through every amp.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just ours. I mean, there's a lot of...
Right. But if you're
Wampler... I know for a long time you were swearing by Sean. Love pedals.
Yeah.
Eternity, right?
Oh, I still love that pedal.
Yeah, it is a great pedal.
That pedal. See what I did there? See?
That's what I need in my sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Sean, just send two more Eternities to the office.
Yeah, Sean. Send him an Eternity. Send me the Dover Drive.
Oh yes, yeah, the new Dover Drive.
Yeah, you got it.
Man,
please.
Those demos sound great.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So Josh, I'm not joking. I'd love one.
Max says,
"Have you heard it? Have you heard this one yet?" Right. I think I heard it. Was it Josh Smith did the demo?
I think so. It sounded depressingly good.
Yeah. That's what you said about the first time. It was so cool, man. And I don't know if I should. I'll just say it. You know, if anything, it'll make you seem, you know, even more real to people that don't know you. When I first started working here, you're like, "Hey, can you come out to the barn? I want you to try this prototype." And I started playing, and then you grabbed it was the Bogner Blue. What is that? Just what it's called, the Bogner Blue, or forget what it's called.
It's not Ecstasy, is it? Ecstasy Blue, maybe.
Maybe I don't know. It's that.
But it's the blue Bogner pedal that. They have a red one, a blue one, and a black one.
Right,
Blue black's the Obershaw, I think.
Yeah.
So it must be like the Ecstasy Blue.
Yeah, I can't remember. But anyways, you were like, "Hey, can you play this for a second?" And keep in mind, I just started working here, Max. So he's like, "What do you think of it?" And I'm thinking to myself, man, it sounds great. So I told you, I go, "Dude, it sounds really good." And you go, "I know, it's depressing." And I just thought that was so cool that you were like, because here I am, you know, I don't know why I assumed it, but I assumed that like you wouldn't want to admit that.
Because I'd be like, "No, it doesn't. It sounds like crap."
Yeah, you know,
I hate it. Yeah. I hate you.
But no, it's so funny because you're like, man, that sounds good. It's depressing.
Well, I mean, it's, you know.
And, but inspiring in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Because anytime like I hear a good pedal like that, it kind of pushes you to to do more in a healthy, competitive sort of way.
Right.
You're like, wow, that's great, man. I've got to come up with something that's
right.
You know, that I feel is equally impressed by.
Yeah. See, that's cool, man. Because I think you have to have that. Otherwise, you just have a Tube Screamer and a Klon and a MT2 Metal Zone
and a fuzz face.
Yeah, and a fuzz face and a big muff. But you know what I mean? There's got to be, which goes mm-hmm. back to mm-hmm. what's everything based off of. And that's why.
Goes back to why are we stuck living in the past?
Exactly. Gear-wise. Exactly. And that's one thing that I was a little bit afraid of whenever we released the Velvet Fuzz
mm-hmm.
because it's not a fuzz. It's I mean, what would you agree with this? That the three big ones, I'm sure there's more, but fuzz wise be the Big Muff, the Fuzz Face, and then the Tone Bender.
I would probably say so. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm sure there's others out there, you know, but those are like the Mose Right Fuzz and all right. that, but mm-hmm. those are the three big ones. And people would email me and say, the Velvet Fuzz, which one is that like?
And yeah.
I say, well, imagine it's a fuzz face into a cranked amp.
Right.
You know, and then they're like, so what's that mean? I was like, I don't know what to tell you. It's different.
Yeah,
you know?
Sound-wise, that's what we're going for.
Yeah, you know? And the thing is, too, is it's like sometimes amp builders, I mean, everybody does it to where they go after a sound more than
right.
like a bass of a pedal. So, but yeah, going back to being stuck in the past, we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
You and I probably more than Brian. Do you even have any vintage amps? I know you used to, but...
I forget.
Yeah. I know you have.
I used to have an old Deluxe.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know Max, he has the Silver Super, right?
Yeah, I got mm-hmm. Silver Super. I love it.
And have I ever had any vintage amps, Max?
I don't know. Yeah, you have.
I know.
Right? Princeton, you've had Deluxe.
Two Deluxes.
Two Deluxes, yeah.
Yeah, I guess... You know, I guess Trainer. I approach it differently. Like, for me, I'm always wanting to see, like, what our customers are using.
Right.
And there's a portion of them that use some of that stuff. But, like, if I want a Princeton, I'd be like, Travis, bring over your Princeton.
Right, yeah. Right.
Or Max, which, like, Max, bring your Super in or whatever.
It's so funny, yeah. too, because this Princeton Reverb, it's a 1965. It's got a new speaker in it. It's got a WGS in it. Forget which speaker. It's orange. Orange. I said it right. I said it.
Orange.
Not orange. It's not orange. Orange. Yeah. See, I said it right. So I had to think about
perfect.
It.
Perfect. I was going to say anything.
But other than that, it's all original. And to me, like, I'm a big Vince Gill fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it nails that sound. And to me, that is like, oh, man, his clean tone is just, that's it. That's the clean tone.
Right.
And then I brought it over to you. I'm like, dude, you got to check out this amp. And the first time you played, you're like, yeah, I don't dig it. The first thing, just like when I brought over one of Ben Fargen's amps, the first thing you did, I was like, man, listen how clean and beautiful this amp is. The first thing he did was he grabbed a Telecaster, put it on his bridge pickup, and turned the volume on the amp to 10. on a Blackface style amp. He just cranked it as hard as he could go and then just started... And he's cranking on. He's like, I don't dig it. And I'm like, what? What? How would you know?
Probably because it was a Telecaster.
I do like that amp for certain things.
Right.
So, I mean, just, I don't know. When I buy amps, it's because I'm wanting to, like, design a circuit that works with
right.
an amp that I'm finding out customers are using right now or something.
Right.
You know?
Or so. On the flip side, what I've noticed about you is you really like that Port City Pearl because it is such a clean response.
Yeah. Because
it's almost like a flat response.
It is.
If you want that.
I mean, to me, it's like, I always tell people it's the perfect pedal amp because there's some amps that just, it doesn't matter what overdrive you put in front of them. They still sound pretty similar. The Port City, the Pearl at least, to me is like an amp that you can hear all the little intricacies of every different pedal.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's so neutral sounding. It doesn't
right.
have like a, it's
maybe
not like,
that's what I should say more than flat, because flat.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. I mean flat when I mean like EQ wise.
Yeah,
like
not,
response,
not in a negative
not flat,
way. Yeah.
As in like just lays there
right.
kind of
it's
thing.
It's like the amp you have, it's like, it sounds like a really good Fender amp.
Yeah.
You know, where the Port City just sounds... It sounds like a really good amp to put pedals in front
right.
of, to me.
And the thing is, and I'm not saying it's not a great amp, so please don't take it that way.
No,
but,
not at all.
Especially if, you know, Daniel, they're great amps, but that Fargen amp I have, it's got this like this third dimension quality to it. Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, it has this like, and man, it's going to sound so cliche, but it has this like magic to it, mm-hmm. man. And it's like, you can feel it. It's just perfect. So whenever I go into an amp that when you have set up to basically be a pedal machine,
right?
You know what I mean? It's like, eh, you know, but if I did spend some time with the Port City and it has that magic too, but
it's just in a different way.
It's in a different way.
It's kind of like your Princeton, though. I mean, like for some stuff, it's great. But then you put a different pedal in front of it, you're like, whoa.
Well, I will say it doesn't take pedals that well.
Right.
It really doesn't. It fizzes.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that clean tone with just a compressor in front of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's
I kind of feel that way about AC-30s.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of like the clean aspect of it, but I don't mm-hmm. like them with a lot of pedals in front of them.
Yeah, and here we go back to what's the amp based off of. But I played a Bad Cat Trim Cat 30,
mm-hmm.
and that amp still to this day probably has I'm not going to say the nicest clean tone, but to me, the coolest, most unique clean tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sounded just like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Scott Henderson.
Yeah.
You know, like that, well, I think the name of the record was Tore Down House, yeah. but man, it nailed that tone.
Yeah.
But then again, that amp probably wouldn't take pedals that well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the thing. It's so bad telling your boss this whenever you work for a pedal company, but if I found the right amp, I wouldn't use any dirt pedals. None. I just use my volume on my guitar.
Really? See, yeah. I get too bored with stuff. I got to have those different flavors.
No way, dude. Like, I don't know. The problem is I've noticed, like, it's easier to find that amp with humbuckers because you can drive an amp harder
mm-hmm.
at lower volumes.
Right, I can see that.
So my thing is, it's like, I have that, like, kind of Marshall clone thing that I've been working on, and which is frustrating the crap out of me because some nights it'll sound awesome, and the other nights it sounds terrible in the same room with the same gear.
Maybe you need to refill up the Mojo meter.
I know, right? I need some more pixie dust. But yeah, that amp's so frustrating.
But, you know, we were talking about all these old vintage amps and how the Axe FX is something totally new that people are grabbing onto.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's getting so close. And I kind of feel like Amplitude, like software-wise, is approaching this too. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the stuff is so realistic that it's almost scary.
Yeah. You know?
Like, for example, the Electro-Harmonix with the B9.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely not modeled after anything
right.
that's been done before, right?
Yeah, and they even have one that's for harmonica and stuff, too.
So it seems like the Axe FX and the, what's the kind that makes Torpedo?
The Two Notes.
Two Notes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Two Notes?
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, it seems like we're slowly getting there.
Right.
Many people are starting to... you know, kind of
embrace it a little bit.
Yeah, embrace it a little bit. That's the right
or
word.
Maybe just tolerate it. Maybe not quite embrace it.
There's some people that swear up and down by Axe FX. So,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, the thing is, and like what Brett was saying, he said the biggest thing about that is the cabinet selection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said when you can go in there and really find which cabinet to use, then that totally brings all those settings, you know, to life.
And I know like a guy like Dweezil's Apple, I think, uses a couple of them. And I mean, a lot of people like to use those with pedals because they take pedals so well. Usually there's a lot of those emulating from the past, at least.
Yeah.
A lot of the emulating amps didn't do so well in that capacity.
Yeah. I'm writing this tune or whatever, right? And I wrote it while my wife was asleep right next to me. I'm laying in bed with Amplitude. And man, it sounded, the tones sound killer. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I sent it to you and mm-hmm. you were like, you couldn't even tell.
Right. It sounded great. Yeah.
And then I have a buddy who's total gear nerd and I sent it to him. And then, you know, he was like, oh man, this sounds great. He didn't comment on the tone one way or the other. He was just like, yeah, this sounds really good. And then I told him and he was like, I hate hearing that because I really liked the tone.
It's like he wanted to believe it was an old vintage amp.
Yeah, and when I told him that, and what I actually did is, you know, I think I did this for you too. I took it into Logic, and I bypassed Amplitude, and it just sounded like clink, clank, clink, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you put a little, I was using like their JCM 800.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call it that, obviously.
Right,
but their JCM 800, and then... their diode drive. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. And then I use the Univibe and a tape echo. Huh. And it just sounded killer, man.
So the moral of the story is we're going to start putting Macs in our pedals.
Yes.
And they'll be $3,000 from here on out. And they'll be this big.
Not Macs, Macintoshes.
Macintoshes.
Gotcha. Apple. I was like, one, I will not fit an enclosure that big. And two, how can I make it sound any better? It was so confused. I'm like, just shake your head and say yes. Yes. Yeah, that sounds great.
M-A-C-S.
Not Macs, not Max.
Dude, you need to add an extra X. Max. Like TJ. No. Max.
TJ Me's?
Yeah, TJ Me. Yeah, he calls it TJ Me.
TJ Me.
What's wait, my, hold on. We got TJ Maxx is a clothing store here in
America. Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, so. No, they have it. They have it in the UK.
Oh, do they?
Okay. Yeah, it's TK Maxx.
Okay.
But
so anyways, that's the thing. Inside joke there.
Yeah, and also the big movie theaters, you know, that show 3D and they're like two stories high. What do you call those, Max?
IMAX. IMAX. You, Travis. You, Brian.
IMAX. Yeah. IMAX. They're called IMAX theaters. So every time. Every I've known you for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hang out a lot, right? And every time we drive by an IMAX, still, he just goes, IMAX. And still, I just shake my head in disgust. Okay, yeah, I think it's funny.
You crack up a little.
But yeah, I do crack up. So, you know, the thing, I have to admit, though, and this is another reason why you should buy one, is I've never played an Axe FX.
I haven't. Well, either. I actually have. At an amp show. You guys made this weekend. Surely.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
may be out there at LA amp shows this weekend.
But, yeah, like, to be honest, I don't know anything about them as far as, like, do you need a power amp for them or does it have the power in it? You know, this is stuff. I have no idea. Isn't that terrible? I have no idea how it works.
I don't know that much. Aspect,
send us three. Longer
HQ. Come on, Fractal.
P.O. Box 2122.
Yeah. Let me get that Axe FX one time. Right?
Where's my sound effects board?
You do. I'm going to bring you a MIDI controller.
We're like 20 episodes
you
in
know,
now.
You know those like old little Casio keyboards are about 8 inches long?
Yeah, they have the doo-doo-ts.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be like the ones like you blow into. And on it.
I do have a little MIDI controller. It's like a little keyboard.
You have to label everything.
Well, that's okay. I've never used it. Ever, and I have it, so I'll just use Sharpie marker.
Boom.
Clown horn. Clown horn. You know what I mean? And then fart noise that you always do. Yeah. Yeah. But that's this sound of disgust. So, you know, I'd love to get your guys' opinion on what you think as far as are we, as and when I say we, I mean the general population of all gear nerds, are we holding back technology? Are we so tied up on tubes and the way they sound and moreover the way they feel? I hate to admit it, but if somebody put a Fractal, I'd like to think I could tell, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to do something like that just between us, you know, and see if you can tell, see if right. I can tell. I like to think I could tell in the feel, you know, cause that's what everybody says. And that's what they say they love about the Pinnacle is the keyword sag.
Yeah.
And they say with the Fractal stuff, sometimes it's harder to hear it. It's there, but so I don't know.
I don't have enough experience.
Me neither. There. And I've also heard the only other complaint I've heard is, you know, and then, but Brett said that he fixed this issue and with experience with the cabs, but the actual sound of moving air, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
the feel
absolutely. Of moving air. So
that's a hard one for, I think everyone cab that's sound. Ever designed any sort of cab emulation thing is always trying to figure out how to mimic that sound and feel.
Yeah, and because that's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the engineer, but you would think.
Me either.
Yeah, that's why you hire him. But like Jake, you know, Jake can give you the math on it. You know, Jake's a guy that works for Brian and real bright kid. I can call him
and
a
I would
kid.
Say, change that to 5 kilohertz.
Yeah, on a computer, so
it's like, or you can just move this capacitor.
Yeah, but so I'd love to hear what you guys think, you know, your opinions on that. Feel free to shoot them to podcast@wamplerpedals.com. or if you have general nonsense and you just want to flood somebody's inbox, max at one.
No.
That's awesome. Also, check us out on facebook.com/chasingtonepodcast, and our Instagram is Chasing Tone Podcast.
Is that up and going now?
It's up and going. It just needs content.
Really? Yeah. So send us your pictures.
Yeah, send us your pictures, right? Yeah.
So we can use them.
Safe for work pictures.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll get on that. We'll get that updated. So, did I leave anything out?
No, nothing I can think of.
Max?
I'm good.
All right. For Max and Brian, I'm Travis. Thank you guys very much for listening.